very good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington on Monday, July 25th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Here are our top stories this evening. The MDCT Youth Assembly says it will stage protests next month to force President Mugabe to step down.
We have been left with no choice but to start a campaign whose mission is to liberate our Zimbabwe from a clueless and greedy clique that only thinks about itself and nothing else.
Zimbabwe's war veterans move to dump President Mugabe and settles the government.
Anybody is allowed to say what they want to say. Your treason then gets you to a level where you are trying to bring down the government officially. This is a dispute between comrades within the association, so the government is not supposed to be involved. There is no law that can actually get these guys into arrested.
Protester Linda Musarira's family suffers as she languishes in remand prison.
Linda has got 5 kids, and 4 of them are going to school, and 1 is not going to school, is a 2-year-old. The kids have got no food. There's nothing. She is the breadwinner.
And Democrats in USA are embroiled in controversy over leaked emails showing alleged favoritism in the nomination of this year's presidential candidates. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. The MDC, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, has issued an ultimatum for President Robert Mugabe to leave office for failing to run the country's affairs and declared that it would embark on national protests next month to press him to resign. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
The National Youth Chairperson of the MDCT, Hepimo Chidziva, told a news conference at his party's Harvest House headquarters that Mr. Mugabe must step down by August 31st because he has failed to deliver on his re-election promises. Chidziva said his party would embark on national demonstrations next month until the head of state resigns under what the MDC Youth Assembly is calling the hashtag My Zimbabwe campaign.
To compliment all the other campaigns taking place, executive resolved to launch our hashtag My Zimbabwe campaign. A campaign that speaks to our love and patriotism to this country. We have been left with no choice but to start a campaign whose mission is to liberate our Zimbabwe from a clueless and greedy clique that only thinks about itself and nothing else. We urge all citizens to embrace the month of heroes, the month of August, as a month of action to liberate ourselves from Robert Mugabe. This country will remain ungovernable as long as Robert Mugabe and ZANU-PF does not heed the call.
He added that the proposed protests would be different this time because the police and the army, who have always crushed their previous demonstrations, are allegedly on their side.
The security forces have not stayed by the economic challenges we face. We go to the same bank queues, to the same dilapidated clinics, to the same combis, yet a few are eating and enjoying on our behalf. Enough is enough. Come join in the mass. This revolution will require the assistance of everyone to succeed.
Studio 7 failed to get a comment from ZANU-PF national spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo as he was not answering his mobile phone. However, some leaders of the ruling ZANU-PF party last week charged that they will take the law into their own hands if police do not arrest people who would be protesting against President Mugabe's administration. Although dissent against Mr. Mugabe is increasing, political analyst Pedzisai Ruhanya, director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, said the capacity of the MDCT youth to force Mr. Mugabe to resign is questionable.
The environment for the mobilization of dissent is there, but whether they will have the capacity to remove the head of state by 31 August, in my view, is questionable, and I don't think it's within their capacity. What is within their capacity is to protest, it is to exercise their agents. But to give a deadline of 31 August, I think they are overestimating their capacity.
poor economic performance, high unemployment, and human rights violations are some of the issues that are driving opposition forces to protest against Mr. Mugabe. For his part, President Mugabe has told the nation that those protesting against him were foreign-sponsored and were bent on effecting what he described as illegal regime change in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
There are serious tensions between war veterans and the ZANU-PF establishment following the former fighter's call for President Robert Mugabe to step down, calling him a dictator who has totally destroyed Zimbabwe. The War Veterans Ministry says it has launched a probe into what it is calling a treacherous and treasonable act by the freedom fighters. For Perspective, reporter Ntungameli Nkomo, Rich political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya.
The legitimacy of this association is such that they themselves said when they were at Mkangango, they decided that all veterans fighters to invite Mugabe to Mozambique. When he got to Mozambique, they met their leader. When they came to Zimbabwe in 1980, they campaigned for him. They supported him through all the turbulence of the 2000s and in fact made him a patron. So it would seem to me that these are critical stakeholders with a local standard to say to this man, we as what veterans, we are asking you to step down. I do not see any problem with that.
Are we going to see people being arrested for treason or some of them are being kicked out of ZANU-PF?
Well, look, you know, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of the constitution, really, you know, this is a democratic constitution. You know, anybody is allowed to say what they want to say. You know, treason then gets you to a level where you are trying to bring down the government unofficially. This is a dispute between comrades within the association, so the government is not supposed to be involved. There is no law that can actually get these guys arrested. And besides, if they can fire them from ZANU-PF, they fired Chris from ZANU-PF, but he's still a member of the Operators Association. So my feeling is that it is okay if they can go to the extreme and get fired from ZANU-PF, but they can still retain their membership and still, you know, propagate the demand and the anxieties of the people of Zimbabwe.
Can we say that the war veterans are now on the side of the masses, or this is just an internal ZANU-PF squabble?
Well, what they've simply done is, my brother, they've simply identified themselves with the common problems and challenges that we have always been talking about, the unemployment, the lack of drugs in hospitals, the corrupt service delivery. So they can even do within ZANU-PF, there's no problem with it. But once they then chase them out of ZANU-PF, then they go across to the domain of opposition, which means we can welcome them with all open hands. So I believe that they've got a legitimate ground to complain from within their party or from outside their party. But so far, I think we are quite happy to have them instigating a revolution within their party.
That was political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo from Harare.
Young people out there, are you concerned about the many issues that affect you and Zimbabweans in general? Rise to the occasion. Make an impact. Let your voice be heard, and let's get talking on The Connection.
We cover a range of issues that affect young people.
I am Tatenda Gumbo.
And I'm Ntungameli Nkomo.
And we are the hosts for your number one youth forum, The Connection. Join us tomorrow as we look at the just-ended International AIDS Conference held in South Africa, as we focus particularly on HIV/AIDS among young people.
To get involved, send us a message with the hashtag TheConnection on WhatsApp. The number is 001-202-465-0318.
A mother of five, Linda Masarira, who was once described by the police spokesman, Senior Assistant Police Commissioner Charity Charamba, as a hooligan, soon after she was arrested on July the 6th with several other people during nationwide public protests, has been remanded in custody prison for almost a month. Masarira is facing charges of engaging in violent protests organized by Pastor Ivan Mawarire of hashtag This Flag and Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign. Her children are now living from hand to mouth, Patricia Mudadigwa reports.
Masarire's friends in civic society have described her as a fearless warrior fighting for democracy in Zimbabwe. But the state sees her as an enemy, and she is currently languishing at Chikurubi Remand Prison following what police said were illegal protests that hit the country early this month. She allegedly violated some sections of the dreaded Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act. Masarira, a widow and former employee of the National Railways of Zimbabwe, had no steady income when she was netted by the police for allegedly taking part in the national protests. Her friend, Mandowa Maneju, admits that very little resources have been coming to help Masarira's children in Mutare, Manicaland province. Maneju told Studio 7 that while Linda is a non-protester who has been arrested several times in pro-democracy peaceful marches, she claims that on July the 6th, when she was stopped by the police, Masarira was going for a meeting in Harare's central business district. Maneju said Masarira's family is suffering without their breadwinner.
Linda have got 5 kids, and four of them are going to school, and one is not going to school. Is a 2-year-old. Now we are doing contribution for her to look for the money, but the money is not yet found for us to maintain the kids, because the kids have got no food. There's nothing. She is the breadwinner, and they've got nothing to do. During her incarceration, her kids are suffering more because there's nobody who is maintaining them.
Anna Kudzadombo, who occupied Africa Unit Square during one of the protests, said Masarira has been unfairly treated by the state.
Linda is suffering too much because he is many days in the prison, so we wish him to come back and do our work again.
A local politician, Mona Lisa Sharara, believes Masarira is being allegedly ill-treated by the state to stop other women from engaging in peaceful protests.
She's a girl child suffering for airing her views and opinions of what's happening in Zimbabwe. I can say it's very unfair to women, and it's very intimidating to women. Because actually, the men are free and they actually do what they want. But us, if you are a woman and you try to air your view or your opinions, you find yourselves in the gutters, and that's unfair.
Masarira is set to appear in court tomorrow at Mbarema Street Courts. Sharare urged women and all pro-democracy activists to converge at the courts to give her moral support. Last Friday, her lawyers applied for the case to be taken to the Constitutional Court after Masarira was denied bail when several other protesters were released after posting bail. Authorities claimed they needed to confirm the existence of a warrant of arrest allegedly issued against her by the Mutarema Street Court over an undisclosed matter before making any further moves in her case. Naspa Manyau, who took part in the protest, vowed to continue fighting for the betterment of the future of Zimbabwe by taking government to task over issues that affect ordinary people. Manyau said Masarira's arrest and the suffering of her family has made the protesters stronger.
Linda, right now she's suffering, as we all know that she's suffering, but as of now, I want to speak about Linda's life with us at the square. Linda is a kind-hearted lady. She's a God-fearing person. And Linda is brave. As far as I see it, these governments are trying to intimidate us as activists. They are just trying to intimidate us, but to tell the truth is we won't be intimidated. But we are going to fight as Zimbabweans, and we are going to mobilize people.
In Tafara High Density Suburbs, Studio 7 caught up with Brian Kasunzuma, one of the Occupy Africa Unit Square occupants, waving a Free Masarira placard. Kasunzuma said there's no going back on the protest, in which some Zimbabweans are demanding the resignation of President Robert Mugabe and the fulfillment of ZANU-PF's 2013 election promises to create millions of jobs.
Zuma, I'm not happy with the way Linda case here in Yendale. We want to warn the state that you can arrest Linda, but you cannot arrest the spirit with Linda. Linda is fighting for a new Zimbabwe. Linda is fighting for a democratic Zimbabwe. It's time to stand up. Now it's time to fight for our rights.
Pamela Mawire, another activist who was incarcerated with Masarira, warned the government that arresting peaceful protesters will not resolve Zimbabwe's socio-economic and political crisis. Mawire said it is the desire of every Zimbabwean to get the nation working again.
Our regime knows exactly why they are arresting Linda and us. They know that Linda has addressed the problems Zimbabweans are facing, and we want solutions. We need a decertification of our government ministries.
For Masarira, life appears to be tough inside and outside remand prison, as her family is now struggling to make ends meet. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up, a closer look at the just-ended International AIDS Conference in South Africa. But first, a look at regional and international news. He may be the half-brother of the President of the United States, but Malik Obama says that come November, he's going to vote for Donald Trump. President Barack Obama's half-brother told the New York Post that he likes the Republican nominee, quote, because it speaks from the heart. End of quote. And that Make America Great Again is a great slogan. Malik Obama also criticized some of the decisions by his brother and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, especially the move to oust former Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi in 2011. Before we discuss what is going on in the Democratic Party, it is common knowledge that Republicans have picked businessman Donald Trump as their candidate for 2016 presidential election set for November. Actually, we have a VOA Somali Services Abdulaziz Oman, who covered the Republican convention in Cleveland right here at Studio 7. Hello, Osman.
Hi there.
Let's go into the crux of the matter right away. How democratic are such conventions?
Well, every Republican delegate who was in the convention actually involved the Democratic nomination of their candidate, their respective candidate. So I think it was democratic because the democratic process shown in the Cleveland was kind of very clear, and the majority of the delegates voted for Donald Trump.
But is everybody involved in nominating a candidate?
Everybody was involved in actually nominating his or her candidate, and the majority of the delegates actually nominated Donald Trump. He got the number delegates that he got was over 1,500 delegates.
What was the mood like for you coming from Voice of America and covering this big event?
Actually, it was very exciting because there were more than 1,500 journalists from around the world who were covering the Republican convention in Cleveland. So it was tense. It was kind of like very experiencing for me because this was the first time that I cover any conventional, either Republican or Democrat, for the first time in my life.
And indications are that Mr. Trump is not too popular amongst Republicans. Based on what you observed while you were there, are there any chances that he will beat the Democratic presidential candidate, Ms. Hillary Clinton, in the November election?
Well, that's actually something I cannot say right now because we have 4 more months to go until the election, and that needs to be seen. But both candidates, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, are tied in certain states. And there was a new poll out from CNN today, which actually Donald Trump is leading Hillary Clinton. So we have 4 months to go, and we don't know how it's going to play out.
But from what you're seeing, what is it that Mr. Trump seems to be, you know, having that appeals to some Americans?
Well, that's a very good question. Donald Trump actually taps into the anxiety of some Americans. He is anti-politics, and he presented to the American public in his speech at the end of that convention that actually the problem in America created by the politicians. So if the politicians are here, that problem will not go away. So he's resonating with a lot of ordinary Americans who are fed up with the current political politicians in Washington.
Thank you very much. That unfortunately, time is not on our side, but thank you for that very, you know, interesting insight in what goes on at this convention. Abdulaziz Osman, thank you for having been our guest here.
Thank you.
Okay, you have a good evening. Now to the Democratic National Convention. U.S. Democrats opened their national convention today, set to affirm former U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton as the party's 2016 presidential nominee. But embroiled in controversy over leaked emails that show how Democratic Party leaders sought to ease her path to the nomination by mocking her challenger, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. We now take you to our reporter, Chioniso Jani, who had, an interview with somebody outside.
The first role of the convention is to nominate officially the candidate of the party. So delegates coming throughout the 50 states of the United States will vote for the candidate and her running mate, and they will put together the program their candidates will manage if they are elected.
So what do these conventions aim to do?
First of all, to nominate officially the candidates. Second, to put together the program, their program. And during this week, many, many people will make speeches. For instance, President Obama is expected to speak probably on Wednesday. His wife will speak today. Bill Clinton will speak probably Thursday. So high figures of the party will make speeches, and the delegates themselves will vote for the candidate.
What impact will Wasserman Schultz resigning as party chair have on this convention?
People are afraid of the party could break between those who support the Senator Sanders and those who support Hillary Clinton. But the leaders of the party say this is not the moment to get apart. This is the moment to get together because we have one goal, to beat Donald Trump in general elections in November.
Hillary Clinton already has enough delegates. Why should the Democrats hold such a convention when she already has enough delegates to represent the party in November presidential elections?
Because this is the rule. Delegates have to come together, and it's a kind of to know each other.
That was VOA's Thomas Kanwalundi speaking with Studio 7's Chioniso Jani from Philadelphia. Zimbabwe's National Pediatric HIV/AIDS Treatment Coordinator in the Ministry of Health and Child Care, Dr. Angela Mushavi, says Zimbabwe is trying to get the World Health Certification for lowering the HIV/AIDS transmission of the virus from mother to child from 7% to 5%. Dr. Mushavi says most countries who attended the just-ended 2016 International AIDS Conference are seeking the same certification, and Zimbabwe would this year put measures in place to ensure that they attain their goal of a 2% reduction to reach certification. Dr. Mushavi tells more on what came out of the 2016 International AIDS Conference in South Africa.
One of the key things that is coming out globally and for all countries is the idea that we need to eliminate mother-to-child transmission of HIV and that our children should be born HIV-free. they need to start free of HIV. And we have that program here in Zimbabwe where we are really scaling up to eliminate mother-to-child transmission of HIV. So I think that was one of the key messages among a lot of other key messages, marvelous.
You were saying that most of the countries that were at that conference, including Zimbabwe, are looking for certification. Tell us a little bit about that.
The WHO certification, that actually gives a certificate to a country recognizing that they have reduced their mother-to-child transmission to less than 5%. This is a global initiative. And here in Zimbabwe, we are definitely going for it. Right now, our mother-to-child transmission is at 7%, but we hope that within a year or two, then we will be able to go for the pre-elimination and the certification process that the World Health Organization has set for countries. Cuba, Thailand, Armenia and Belarus, they've already been certified, and that's where we are going as a country.
What will it take for countries like Zimbabwe to attain that certification?
In the first instance, then, it is important that all women that fall pregnant visit an antenatal clinic as soon as possible after they fall pregnant. And we encourage that they come in with their male partners. We offer them HIV testing, and if they are positive, we start them as soon as possible on lifelong antiretroviral treatment. And then that protects the infant who is inside the mother's womb and also protects the baby who is breastfeeding and stops the HIV virus from being transmitted from the mother to the infant. So it's all about the health-seeking behavior in communities being aware and taking advantage of the services that the ministry offers for the prevention of mother-to-child transmission of HIV.
What about when you look at the adolescent age groups? What came out looking at Zimbabwe and other countries?
I think this international AIDS conference really puts the spotlight on adolescents. And by adolescents, we are looking at the age group of 10 to 19 years. And then, of course, on young people from the ages of 15 to 24 years. And one actually recognizes that the risk for HIV acquisition in this age group is higher in the female. And females are disproportionately affected by HIV in that age group. And therefore, the need, I think, is to scale up prevention in that age group, as well as, of course, when children in that age range and young people are infected, to make sure that they are put on antiretroviral treatment. And this is available because from the 2016 International AIDS Conference, I think there's this recommendation that has come from the World Health Organization to say anybody who tests HIV positive, whether they are a man, a woman, a child, they should go on to lifelong treatment without waiting for them to be sick and without waiting for their CD4 count to go down.
So has Zimbabwe put in place a program that actually caters, for example, for the adolescents? Because we know you have been running a program that caters for the mother-to-child transmission. But what about the adolescents?
We do have adolescents that are mothers who are in that age group of 10 to 19 or 15 to 24 who, of course, will need prevention of mother-to-child transmission services. But the important thing in that age group is if we can prevent HIV in that age group, if our children, if this young generation can grow up HIV-free, that would be the best that we can do for this generation. In the International AIDS Conference, there were discussions around pre-exposure prophylaxis. And pre-exposure prophylaxis is actually taking antiretrovirals before somebody meets a person that is HIV-infected. And then that prevents you from getting or acquiring HIV. And there was a lot of talk around pre-exposure prophylaxis. And Zimbabwe has also embraced some of those pre-exposure prophylaxis guidance to keep children, to keep our adolescents and young people HIV-free. Of course, there are issues to do with behavior change, sexual behavior change, use of condoms, etc., to also prevent HIV. And our minister was very clear on having an HIV-free generation and keeping the young people HIV-negative.
That was Dr. Angela Mushavi, the National Pediatric HIV/AIDS and Treatment Coordinator in the Ministry of Health and Child Care in Harare. And in sports news, Highlanders have retained the Zimbabwe National Army Charities Shield as the Sables crash out of the Africa Cup. Our reporter Michael Cariati gives us more details.
Highlanders were stretched to the limit by Little Harare City, but still retained their Zimbabwe National Army Charities Shield after a 4-2 penalty shootout win over the Sunshine City Boys at Barberfield Stadium yesterday. The two teams had settled for a goalless draw in regulation time, and with the tournament having no provision for extra time, the referee ordered penalty shootouts. Highlanders coach Errol Agbaye was excited by the win and says although they won by penalties, a win is a win.
Yes, of course. If you win, it's always good. And today was the final. A final win is much better, of course. Win is a win. Ah, so be it today.
Now to rugby. The Zimbabwe national team are out of the race for the 2016 Africa Cup after suffering another home defeat, this time to Little Uganda, 27-34 at the Police Rugby Grounds over the weekend. Although the Sables still have a game to play against Namibia, veteran player Fortune Chipendu admits the Sables are down and out. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Carriat.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.